13, it's a state legislative update. Good morning, welcome.
Good morning.
Oof.
Madam Chair and Director, it's good to be with you again this morning. I'm Michael Pimentel, your legislative advocate in Sacramento with Schaguter, Antwi, Schmelzer, and Lang. I did want to note for you as we begin that when I was last before you in October, I was able to report on some good news. At that time, we had seen the passage of the budget for fiscal year 23-24, providing $5.1 billion to transit agencies statewide. I was also able to report on the enactment of Metro-sponsored legislation carried by Senator Laird to allow for you all to move forward with a new sales tax to support Metro operations. Now, as I come to you today, I want to provide an update on how things are continuing to progress in Sacramento. When I was before in October, that was at the conclusion of the legislative year. We'd seen a raft of actions by Governor Newsom. We're now at the very start of this legislative year and seeing a number of new items for consideration that we'll have to grapple with as an agency. And to just start, I'll just highlight for you where we are exactly in the legislative session. We are in California under a two-year legislative session. We are now entering that second year of the two-year session. That began on January 3rd of this year. There was an introduction deadline for new legislation that passed in mid-February, and that gave way to what were ultimately more than 2,000 bills introduced in the legislature. And what I'll reflect on is that is solely new bills, not bills that were carryover from the year prior, things that we call 2 year bills. So in actuality, there are about 3,000 bills moving through the state legislature at this time. I note for you here what we call a spot bill deadline. Many of the bills that were introduced at the start of the year did not have fully fleshed out language included within them. They included language that spoke to the intent of the legislature to legislate on particular topics or areas of interest, but that were otherwise lacking details. What we've seen now,
right, let's go for a walk, guys. Don't come back and play double dragons, maybe even triple dragons. And let's all go in pajamas.
Sorry, Mr. Pimentel, can we just take a moment and make sure that everyone online is muted? All right, thank you.
So what we've seen in March is the deadline for spot bills to be amended. So that means that the substance of the bills is beginning to be ported into those placeholder bills introduced earlier in this year. This year, it's been a bit of a slower process to actually see the bill language move into the actual bills that are published and available for public review. Over the coming weeks, we'll start to see more of the language out in print. It's just a matter of the Senate Rules Committee, the Assembly Rules Committee reviewing legislation, making determinations as to where bills will be routed. And we may have some more updates to provide to the interim CEO, Zaragoza, or the incoming CEO, Aldridge, when he resumes or takes on the role in the coming months. What I did want to highlight for you is that the second year of the two-year session will end in August of 2024, and then the governor will have 30 days to act on all bills, and that sets a deadline of September 30th, 2024. Now, when I was before you last, I did highlight what was going to be a change in leadership. And in fact, at the time that I was before you, we had not yet seen that Assemblymember Robert Rivas had been sworn in as Speaker. That has taken place. And we had not yet seen Senator Mike McGuire, who was at that time President Pro Tem Designee of the California State Senate, take on the role at the helm of that legislative house. Both have now transpired. And what we've seen is that they've started to make changes to key committees that have impact on issues that Metro cares about. So in particular, we've seen changes in leadership for the two transportation committees in both the Senate and the Assembly. We've also seen change in leadership in the budget committees in the Senate and the Assembly, and then change in leadership in one subcommittee that oversees transportation matters that would be in the Senate, where there's been a change in chair. What we have not seen at this stage is a change in leadership in the Assembly Budget Subcommittee, that has jurisdiction over matters that Metro cares about. That remains the same chair that we had last year, Assemblymember Steve Bennett of Oxnard. Now, importantly, the two legislative leaders aren't simply making changes to leadership of the key committees, they're also making changes to the composition of those committees. And what we've seen is that your delegation has been appointed to several high priority, high impact committees. Senator Laird has been a longtime member of the Senate Budget Committee. He maintains that role on that committee and maintains his oversight as the chair of the budget subcommittee that oversees education issues. But he is also on a number of committees that may ultimately impact Metro depending on the bills that move forward this year. We've seen that Assemblywoman Gail Pellerin has been appointed to two very notable committees, the Appropriations Committee that has jurisdiction over bills with fiscal impact here at the state level, as well as the Assembly Natural Resources Committee, which will evaluate any bill that has an environmental impact. So anything clean air, climate change related will run through that committee. Assembly Member Don Addis, who's on the outskirts of your jurisdiction, doesn't have seats on any committees that are relevant to Metro. However, she will play a role in helping to steer the priorities of your legislative delegation as a member of the Central Coast Legislative Delegation. So the biggest item I think folks are interested in learning more about is likely the fiscal year 24-25 budget. There was some conversation just now with your CFO about how exactly the budget deficit may ultimately impact Metro programs and funding that was authorized last year. I'm going to go into some detail on that in just a moment. But what I'm going to highlight for you at the highest of levels is that Governor Newsom released his January budget on January 10th of this year. And within that, he identified a $38 billion budget deficit that we need to grapple with in this fiscal year in order to keep the state's budget balanced. He proposed within that budget a variety of funding delays, shifts, and cuts, what they called in this budget a reversion. But he did not notably offer any cuts to transit funds. There's a caveat to that. I'm going to speak to that in a moment. Where we are at this stage in the budget development process is that budget subcommittees with jurisdiction over particular programs, particular agencies are beginning their hearings. And those will continue through summer and really be reset in May when Governor Newsom releases what he calls his May revise. That is a mid-year adjustment reflecting how budget numbers have changed since the budget was released in January. And what I'm going to highlight for you now is that we expect that that $38 billion figure is going to go up. And that is in part informed by what we've seen from the Legislative Analyst Office. That's the state legislature's fiscal arm that has presented a series of reports that highlights that the budget deficit could be as high as $73 billion. And so likely the number is somewhere in between that 38 and that 73. We have seen some good news in terms of tax receipts besting in this last month, what was anticipated by the state, but we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars toward a multi-billion dollar problem. And so ultimately, it may not be as high as $73 billion, but perhaps not as too much lower than that. Ultimately, the budget needs to be adopted by June 15, 2024. But I will highlight that only means that the budget has to be adopted as a balanced budget. Oftentimes, big, high priority issues get punted into late summer, early fall. So we may still see some further action take place in the legislature as a result of looming budget concerns. Also, reality that there have been in a variety of counties a delay in the requirement to file taxes. With that, that's going to delay what the state is able to actually project for the year. So before I go into precisely the impact on Metro, I want to highlight for you what it is that we got out of last year's budget. At the highest of levels, $5.1 billion for public transit agencies statewide. There are two components to that, $4 billion that flows to the Transit and Intercity Rail Capital Program, $1.1 billion that flows to a new zero-emission transit capital program. From those two programs, the share for this county that goes to your Regional Transportation Commission is almost $35 million over 4 years. And I understand from my conversations with your past CEO, Michael Tree, that Metro stands to benefit pretty hugely from that investment. Now, the other thing that the budget did is it established new accountability requirements. And these accountability requirements ultimately will govern the release of the dollars to regional entities and then down to the individual agencies. And they are codified through new financial plans that need to be submitted by the regional agencies to the California State Transportation Agency that provides CalSTA with oversight of how these monies will be used, how they're driving toward fiscal stability for the agencies. And with that, CalSTA has the ability to approve, deny, or request modifications to financial plans. They are in the process of reviewing financial plans currently. They have until April 30th to approve plans and release funds. And we understand that in the month of March and into early April, we'll begin to see approvals take place. I've been told that it's unlikely that there are going to be denials outright. There may be some areas where folks at CalSTA are asking for additional details or insights, justifications for why certain decisions were made. I'm speaking to that generally, not the specific insight to what has been submitted by this county and what the agency should expect. The other thing that it did that's notable and ongoing this year is it established a new transit transformation task force that is looking to review the policies of funding that needs to be implemented to make transit more sustainable, grow ridership, and to ultimately deliver the services that we need in order to get folks to transition out of their cars and into high capacity public transit. I'll note for you that this region is represented on that transit transformation task force by two individuals. One would be Mr. Carl Sidorek, the CEO of Monterey Salinas Transit. He's a Central Coast representative. And then I, as with another hat on, as executive director of California Transit Association, have a seat on that task force. We have built out an internal body within our association that is comprised of regional voices from across the state, make sure that any position the association articulates is reflective of our full membership, including Metro. And so here, speaking particularly to what Governor Newsom has proposed, there was acknowledgement of the 50-25-25 split that the state is considering for the TRCP dollars. That is fully correct. Governor Newsom has proposed to hold harmless the first release of $2 billion. And by hold harmless, I mean that money is untouched. It will move forward as planned in this fiscal year and released on April 30th. So for the portion that Metro is set to receive in that first tranche, no impact. Where there will be some potential impact is on the release of the second $2 billion. There, Governor Newsom has proposed to take what would have been 50% of the dollars and split it over two fiscal years, 25%, 25%. So $1 billion, $1 billion. That extends the appropriation timeline, but maintains a level of funding overall that will flow to regions and to agencies. Notably here, that's in the governor's budget. The Senate has released what they're calling an early action budget plan, and that also approves this action. I'll highlight for you, while that appropriation timeline extension is not ideal, when most other programs are facing significant cuts, it's probably the strongest position we could be in as an industry and as agencies against that backdrop. And then finally, I'll just note, and this is material for Metro, they are looking to also apply a cash flow analysis on the release of TIRCP Cycle 6 funding. And so Metro had received just under $40 million from TIRCP Cycle 6. Here the state is saying, you will get your money, but in the event that you don't need your money in fiscal year 23-24, 24-25, we will release the money on an as-needed basis. And that allows for the state to have some additional flexibility in the general fund dollars that they use to prop up that Cycle 6 funding and to direct those monies toward other areas where perhaps the need is more acute and more tight. And so not anticipated to have any impact on your ability to move forward with your project, but just noting there's going to be a cash flow analysis and discussion that gets applied to the release of those dollars. And so I'm just going to highlight as I close a few pieces of legislation that I think are germane to Metro. And again, want to highlight with the spot bill still going into print, very likely I will be talking to the interim CEO and the incoming CEO to say, there are new bills that have some impact. Here's what they are. They're just not in print yet. And so for what is in print today, one of the bills that is going to have some significant discussion in Sacramento is a bill by Senator Scott Wiener that is looking to provide greater priority for public transit and for active transportation on state-owned highway assets. And here the state has a maintenance and rehabilitation program called SHOP. It's used to make improvements on the state highway system, generally to improve the pavement quality index. What Senator Wiener is looking to pursue here is to say, if you as the state are moving forward with improvements, also consider how you could, in the same action, make improvements that advantage travel via bus, rail, or active transportation. The idea that you can get a 2-for-4 investments rather than making one-time investment to simply improve the quality of the pavement, and then later consider what may be another improvement that would advantage this type of travel. And so the types of projects that this bill is contemplating are things like your bus on shoulder project. How can we do more with the state-owned assets to really get people to ride public transit, to take active transportation? This is going to have its first hearing in the Senate Transportation Committee on April 9th. We'll note for you, there's some amendments that are growing. The amendments, though, would preserve the intent of the bill, but just work to improve the readability and the implementation mechanics of the bill. I also wanted to bring back for your attention AB 610. There's some discussion during the previous presentations about fare free transit. There was a bill that Metro had supported, AB 610, that would have established a new program to fund fare free transit programs. That bill ultimately did not move forward last year, was made into a two-year bill, meaning it could have lived again in this year. And it was made a two-year bill because the budget support for moving that program forward wasn't included in last year's budget. So the author of the bill, Assemblymember Chris Holden, that said, I'll try again this upcoming year. As the budget numbers started to be released, he acknowledged there's probably not an opportunity this year. And so what he has done is gutted and amended that bill. He's made it a bill with a completely different focus and intent. Now it actually impacts fast food workers. And so that bill is effectively dead for this year. The only areas where there's still funding from the state for fare-free transit programs would be through the Low Carbon Transit Operations Program. That's still a robust program, unimpacted by anything that is going on in the state budget, or by some opportunities for Metro and any other agency to pursue a fare-free program. And then finally, I want to close on this bill. This is a bill that's being sponsored by the California Transit Association, and it's looking to address the unfortunate reality that many of our workers are facing forms of abuse and assault as they're carrying out their duties as operators or as transit employees generally. Under today's law, there are some heightened penalties that exist if you are an individual who assaults or batters a transit operator or a transit ticketing agent, but it stops there. And so what this bill would do is it would extend the same protections to other classes of transit employees and contractors. And so this would just clarify, many agencies in the state are moving forward with ambassador programs. Many of you will have custodial staff that interface with the public. If there is assault or battery against any of those individuals, they receive the same protections. The other area where this bill is looking to build into, but it's still a discussion between California Transit Association, the author, who I will note is the chair of the Assembly Public Safety Committee, and ATU, is to also extend the ability for agencies to issue prohibition orders. Currently, there are only a few agencies in state who have that statutory ability. This would say all agencies in state are able to do that, and also create a streamlined process for agencies to issue a prohibition order if those prohibition orders are triggered by assault or battery against a transit worker. And so this is looking to address what we understand is an epidemic within public transit nationwide, looking to solve it through at least one form. Well, there are some other actions focused on rider safety that are on. And so with that, I'll close and happy to entertain any questions or comments from directors.